Horror Flee Red.
Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Red at the Movies.
Poorly Red a la cinema.
Or cinema.
Or cinema, that's it. What's cinema in German?
Picture house. No, I don't know.
Poorly Red, that's a propaganda machine. Like, yes.
Fucking hell.
Oh, fucking hell.
I'm looking it up now. I have to. I'm sure I know what it is because it's such a standard classroom thing. Oh, yeah, Kino. That's it. K-I-N-O.
Kino.
Yeah.
That's not as fun.
More accurate, but what do we care about that?
Accuracy is not my middle name. Oh, dear. Yeah, Greece, colon.
Greece,
is
colon.
The word. No, it'd be like Greece, brackets, is the word, right?
Yeah, you just want to fucking grease up some colons, don't you?
Yeah, always do. Although I do enjoy the screaming when you're going dry.
And the tearing and the bleeding. Jesus Christ.
What's love if not a good prolapse? Yeah, I had a great time watching this.
I sort of didn't.
No way, really?
I think it's just not good.
Oh, well, my God.
Well, no, okay. So, like, in terms of the production and the performances is brilliant.
Yeah.
In terms of who the characters are, what's important to them, and the reasons we're supposed to like them, I just don't think it's aged well. They're just all cunts.
I do agree, but what I liked is that none of them were like saintly depictions of like a faux teenager.
Except Sandy.
Yeah, but Sandy, even her...
She's kind of supposed to be that, though. That's like her whole
thing. Yeah, and she wasn't that way in a way that felt unrealistic to me, which I think is more on the strength of Olivia Newton-John's performance. But I felt like everyone was kind of especially for the time, no character was like a saccharine, sanitised version of who they were supposed to be.
They were a caricatured version.
I wouldn't even say that. I would say they were pretty, like... honest, in a way, depictions of what that type of teenager would have been in, like, a real school. They weren't... Because, like, this film, before you watch it, you might think it's, like, just a really sort of, like, over-the-top sanitizer. Let's sing a song, blah, blah, blah. But actually, everything that happens is quite gritty, in a way. And all the boys are arseholes, really. And none of the girls are like saints, really, but they, and I feel like all the women were, none of them were like soppy or like.
I just thought, where's the characters we're supposed to root for? They're just all horrible.
Yeah, and I kind of liked that in a way.
I just didn't give a shit about any of it. That's the thing. At the end, it's like, oh, look, they all got together and it's nice, but I didn't care because I hate them all.
I don't know, I liked that they were, but I feel there was good and sympathetic points to all of them, you know?
To one of them.
Oh, who was your one?
The most, well, I wonder, because this was probably my favourite bit of the film, and I wonder if it's yours as well. Do you have a favourite bit of the film?
I don't know if I guess I do, but probably not for the reasons that, not for any, like, deep reasons.
Okay. Well, I really liked Rizzo's Worst Things I Could Do song.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought that was the only bit that really showed any kind of character depth.
See, I got bits of it. I sort of saw Rizzo's backstory from the off with her. And I felt like Stockard Channing's performance really sort of brought... Like, I got her and I sort of got what she was trying to fulfill by her actions and... Like, I sort of understood her from the very beginning. I think I could tell she was sort of like a damaged soul that was just kind of just looking for something. She seemed like a damaged soul with, like, daddy issues, to be honest. you know, and so I felt for her very early on.
I didn't.
Really? Oh, good.
All right, how do we start?
We start at the very beginning, because...
it's an adequate place to start.
Yeah. It's one of my favourite things. Like brown paper packages covered in shit. No, we start on a beach. We see two fucking young'uns frolicking in the sand.
Yeah. Danny falls on the sandcastle and then throws sand in her eyes.
Yeah. And then she fucking walks backwards into the ocean, is killed by a sea lion. And Danny's like,
Sandy!
And the film is all about his revenge. So he rents a fishing boat. He finds an old captain who once had a dreadful encounter with a sea lion. And there's a bit in the middle where the captain gets drunk and he recounts this story of how him and his men were on like a warship that got sunk and they all got left in the ocean for 18 days. Well, each of them got picked off one by one by various sea lions.
Now he's got a vendetta against him.
Yeah.
It's consuming his life every waking minute he thinks about tracking down this sea lion.
Oh, God. And at the end, the big sea lion comes and cuts him in half. And then their boat sinks. And all he's got is a gun and a sea lion with a gas tank in its mouth and one bullet. Oh, God. And just as the sea lion's coming towards him, Danny goes, smile, you son of a...
What is that?
Jaws.
Jaws. I was going for a Moby Dick vibe.
Fuck, why would you think that I would be going down the Moby Dick path?
I don't know. It's a marine adventure, hunting a big animal.
Yes, and it does have Dick in the title.
Yeah, you love Dick. Come on.
But I also love Jaws. Unhinge that shit. No, fuck it. They're like frolicking in the sand and they kiss and then Danny gets a bit fruity.
Yeah, by which he's just kissing her and she's like, no, don't spoil it.
Yeah, but he's getting like very like forceful kissing. He's like, come on, Sandy, let's get sandy. Like, oh, Danny, don't spoil it. We've had such a fucking lovely, chaste time. And he's like, no, no, that's it. She goes, no, don't spoil it because I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to make it better.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. But no, they stop and then the sun sets and then...
Sandy says she's going to go back to Australia and she doesn't know if they'll ever see each other again.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah. Gets fairly quickly resolved though, doesn't it?
Yeah, she's literally at school the next day. Yeah. That's it. She goes, oh, I can't believe that this is the end. And he goes, well, baby, it's only the beginning. And how right he was, Tom.
How right he was, although I'm not sure what he thought he meant.
Yeah. I think he was just saying that so he could get into her sandies.
Keep her excited. Keep her sandy.
Oh, God. Yeah, so we go to our first day back after the summer at Rydell High.
Yeah.
And a bunch of 30-year-olds are fucking frolicking outside the front of the school.
Literally at least 30. All
oh, my God. The
Especially
guy,
like Sonny.
I was about to say, Sonny is a fucking 40-year-old mechanic. You can just see it. He owns a deli shop. He's like... They meet up with Kinnicky.
Yeah.
Who I think might be my favourite male in this.
Yeah.
I like his vibe. I just think he's cool.
I just find him a posturing twat, like all of them. If I saw people, I would think, fuck off. Go and get, no.
Tom would be Eugene in this film.
I mean, maybe.
Oh, God. Anyway, Kinnicky's saving up for a car.
For the fucking cat. Yeah. They were like, Kinnicky, where you been all summer? He's like, I've been working. I'm working down at the docks. Those sailors, you know? More than I can say for you chumps.
Yes, I've been letting them use my sandy. Like, okay, Nikki.
They've been greasing my lightning.
One of them made me get a tattoo across my forehead. They're like, what's it say? It says hopelessly devoted to you. Like, oh, Kaniki, are you someone's bitch now? He's like, yeah.
Yeah. But that's more than I can say for you chumps.
Yeah. I'm a bitch with a car. And a very sore sphincter. But yeah, they fucking see Danny leaning up against the wall looking all cool.
Yeah.
I've got to say, fucking Grease John Travolta is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's got a perfect face.
So is Grease Olivia Newton-John, though.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Both of them are fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, I could totally see why they liked each other. Oh, God. He liked the way her sweater never fell off her shoulders.
Yeah.
She liked the way his chin had a butt crack in it. But yeah, they're like, oh, Danny, how was your summer, man? And they're like, oh, man, he was cool, you know? There's chick down by the beach. Inside, his heart is breaking.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, you know, it's cool, you know?
And then we fucking cut to, like, across the lawn. Fucking Sandy's there.
Yeah. Oh, it's bloody surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm so sad I didn't get to go back to Australia. And French is like, oh, but at least you get to be here with us. It's your first day at school. And Sandy's like, yeah, I'm so sad I had to transfer, though. And French is like, oh, well, you shouldn't have killed your parents then. She's like, yeah, I guess. But you see, they wouldn't buy me a new car, French. So it was either I kill them or I walk.
So I had to hunt out this high school where all the other 30-year-olds go.
What they don't tell you is that this is a special school. That's for everyone who failed at everything else in life. So they come back here to redo it all again.
For those who just want to be perpetually in high school with no responsibility.
Oh, that sounds like an amazing opportunity. Can we go to Rideau High?
I mean, it kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Should we buy some leather jackets, Tom, and just go back to high school?
Yeah, although I haven't got a full enough head of hair anymore to do the T-Birds thing.
Oh, fuck, same. Oh, my God.
I know.
That's why I'm taking all of my vitamins, because I read that the ones I'm taking are good for your hair. Yeah. If I end up bald, I'm just straight up wearing wigs. I don't even care. Anyway, then fucking Rizzo and the other pink lady show up looking all cool and pink.
Yeah, I mean, just looking like twats, the same as the T-Birds did.
I think they look awesome. I was like, I want a pink lady's jacket.
I was like, this is why I say like caricature, because like if people were to act like they like the T-Birds and the pink ladies act in real life, no one would like them.
But I mean, you got to think of it like in
I'm
the
sure
50s.
It was different. So, well, yeah, this is it. This is why I say it hasn't aged well.
I had a great time. I sat here with my Vaseline, my box of Kleenex, and fucking Grease was the word. So. Anyway, Sandy goes to fucking sign up for school because she hasn't yet.
Yeah, so what, did she just turn up?
I think that's literally what she did. I think she killed her parents the night before, took their bank account and details, bought her car, bought her yellow Mini Cooper, fucking drove to school.
Just like, I'm sure if I just turn up on the first day, they'll let me do some classes.
Yeah, I'm sure if I just turn up in this yellow ensemble, they just let me do whatever I want. And they kind of do, Tom.
They kind of do.
And I've got to say, the headmistress is a bit of a riot as well. I was very much here for her.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, okay.
I mean, they're all, it is kind of that, you know, film land thing where everyone is pretty attractive.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like even Ross, like that Patty Simcox, who's supposed to be like the nerd.
Yeah, she was. This is what I mean. This is why I liked everyone in this film, because no one was. I mean, you'll probably think the complete opposite, but I felt everyone, no one was like a 2D character. Everyone had quite a few different sort of facets to them, both good and bad. Even her, she was a bit of like, you know,
no.
She was a bit of a crumpet.
Yeah, but that's not a character facet.
No, but I mean, she was like always trying to like get on everyone and stuff, even though she was meant to be this very much like nerdy girl, and she didn't, and she wasn't sort of like oblivious to what everyone was like. Everyone's reaction to her, which I kind of liked.
I don't know, man. I think you're desperate to find stuff to like.
I'm not. Like... This is all stuff that washed over me like that fucking beach breeze on Sandy and Danny's last night together.
Like, she is typical, like, caricature, just like, this is the geek.
I completely disagree.
What else is there about her?
At so many points in this film, she sort of quite brazenly expressed her sexuality.
Okay.
Yeah. She's so... like, I may do maths, but I like all kinds of right angles. You know what I'm saying? She doffed her glasses.
You want to make my angle obtuse?
Show me your hypotenuse. So yeah, the T-Birds think they're all rad and they're fucking not going to class on time. And the principal catches them and suggests that Sunny bangs her erasers.
Get all that chalk dust out, Sunny.
Get all that chalk dust and make a paste. A paste for what? I mean, many things. You can put up wallpaper with it.
We can make a life-sized bust mold.
Yes, a bust mold. A mold for you to bust over.
Yeah.
I want you to do it of my face so that you get lots of practice in, so that when we come to do it for real, Sunny, I won't be dealing with a little boy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. He's like,
no strained effort. No 10 minutes of red face and sweating beforehand.
No, oh, I'm so sorry, miss. I can't get it up, you know? Oh, I expect my students to be right on time. Or even better, late to class. Do you understand what I'm saying, Sally? And all the other T-Birds are just like backed away into like different lockers.
Yes.
And he's like, fuck. Oh, God.
It's a good job I'm clearly in my 40s, miss, or I would have no idea what you're talking about.
And she's like, what? You get out of my sight. I have to go and do an announcement. So she grabs a microphone and says, everyone, we're going to have a live broadcast from our gym next Friday for American National Bandstand.
Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting, isn't it?
That is exciting. I would be I'd be torn about whether I wanted to be involved in it.
I feel like you would have to practice, but I think you would be like good at that kind of dancing.
I think if I was gonna do that kind of dancing, I would wanna like properly practice a routine, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like you would be adept at it.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Yeah. You would be... Who would you be? Maybe you would be, like, Crater Face. When he starts...
It's so, so weird and intense.
Oh, God. I want to be Cha-Cha.
Who is also clearly in her 40s.
Everyone's in their 40s, but everyone's hot, apart from Sunny.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good. Anyway, the pink ladies go for lunch, and Jan says Danny's looking hot.
Yeah.
Who's Jan?
Jan's the toothy one.
Oh, yeah. The one who's meant to be on a diet throughout this entire film, and she's not even fat.
Yeah, and like, there's a bit later where Putsy asks her out.
Yeah!
And he's like, I see you're more than just, like, fat.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, thanks. And I was like, Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, because not only is that a horrible thing to say, two, she's not fat.
Yeah, not even by, like, any stretch.
Yeah, not even like, oh, just compared to the other pink ladies, you can see how she's the one. No, she looks the same as the rest of them.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd never picked up on that before this, like, watching of the film. It was fucking bizarre. So, yeah, anyway, Jan's like, oh, Danny's looking hard. And Rizzo's like, ugh, like, history. Which I guess they banged, which is like, okay. And then Sandy and Frenchie show up, and Frenchie introduces her to the rest of the pink ladies. And, like, Frenchie's like, everybody, this is Sandy. She's from Australia.
And they're all like, g'day, mate.
Yeah, and Rizzo's like, oh, so how are things down under?
And Sandy's like, Sandy.
There's Sandy and there's kangaroos everywhere.
The marsupials. They're out of control.
The size of the spiders, you wouldn't believe it. And Rizzo's like, no, I meant in your vagina.
Sandy's like, well, yes, what else would you have meant?
Yeah, yeah, of course, spiders and kangaroos, of course. See, my vagina is actually a pathway to a different dimension. If you go down there, you end up on the other side of the world, and everyone talks differently and walks upside down.
Look, I'll show you.
Yeah.
Just jumps on Rizzo's head.
Yeah. And that's the song. Like, Sandy Vagina, it goes to the other side of the world. Boo, 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 doo. It goes this and that way. It goes up and down and in curls. And everyone's like, I feel like this isn't the musical that we signed up for. Also, why is there a vortex in this lady's underwear? Oh, God. And then fucking Patty shows up.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Vote for me for class vice president or some bullshit.
Yeah, vote for me for Grand Wizard. And sounds like, you know, I did think it was, like, slightly weird. There was not a single black student at this school. But then I remember what year it is.
Yeah, the only black person in the entire film is in the band.
No, so I saw a total of 4 black people in this film. There's one in the band, there was a couple dancing at the dance, and then there's a black guy dancing in the We Come Together song at the end.
Ah.
Yeah. I was like...
They get them in for the musical numbers, but then... Yeah. When there's...
Yeah, Patty shows up and is just fucking annoying, and she doesn't really add anything. And then Sandy goes to get, like, a coffee or something, and then French is like, oh, so what do we think, guys? You think that Sandy can be in the Pink Ladies? And I was like, you've just fucking introduced her. You don't want her to be part of your gang already. You've met her today. Like, I thought that was weird.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Frenchie does seem to, like, attach herself to Sandy quite quickly, doesn't she?
Yes.
See, that was funny, but we're going to have to cut that silence down. So it's just
No, for anyone who wants to know, I just took a drink of water. And Tom was eagerly awaiting my response.
It was well worth it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so then cut to the bleachers with the T-Birds hanging out and talking shit about the athletes and stuff.
Yeah, and one of them is fucking, like, sliding across the bleachers trying to look up the girls' skirts that are sitting there. And I was like, oh, you guys are fucking weird.
Yeah, whose name is Putzy.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm pretty sure his name is Roger in the stage show, but they call him Putzy in the film.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And he was the only decent one, really, among them. So the fact he was doing that, I was like, oh, I guess they're all pillocks.
I mean, Doody, he was the other one, the dark-haired one that isn't Sunny.
Oh, he said nothing throughout this entire film.
No, well, I mean, no, not really.
The only bit he does is have his, like, head next to that fucking dog at the end.
He sort of wonder. He has a little thing with Marty. He tries to get with Marty at the dance.
Who's Marty?
Well, do you not know the characters' names?
No.
One of the pink ladies.
Oh, is she the one who spreads the news that Rizzo's pregnant?
The one who spreads, yes.
The one who has all the boyfriends overseas.
Yeah, the one who Vince Fontaine is all creeping over.
Who's Vince Fontaine?
Fucking hell.
Oh, yeah. I haven't actually seen the film, Tom. I just read the program for the stage show. See, all my jokes are based off of their names, which I only know 3 of. That's why every joke is Sandy in the title. Yeah, so they basically, in sort of like opposing scenes, in concurrent scenes, each nice. Of them is like asked about their summer at the beach.
Yeah, and then we hear the iconic dum dum dum.
Yeah.
Dum,
dum. Dum, 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 dum. Yeah, opening bars to that, opening bars to Wannabe, opening bars to Chumbawamba's second hit, which I can't remember the name of right now.
Good.
It fucking escapes me. And the song's about memory loss as well. Oh, God.
Yeah, and they sing Summer Lovin'.
Yeah. Like, she rolled over, she had no pants. She's like, he rolled over, he also had no pants. There we were, we had no pants.
He showed off, wearing no pants.
No pants, we had no pants. Oh, guess what? We had no pants.
Oh, well,
no,
oh, well,
had
well.
No pants. Had no pants, had no pants. Why did you have no pants? It turned colder. We had no pants.
So I told her we had no pants.
That's when I wished we had some pants.
Wonder if she ever got pants.
Having no pants, it wasn't bands, but... Oh.
We
had no pants. Hands. And then Sonny's like, but did you ever get pants? Oh, God. And also because Sandy's from Australia, pants actually means underwear.
Yeah, Danny just had no trousers.
Yes.
She was getting real.
Yeah, she had a full on top, her cardigan, but just no bottoms at all. Oh, God.
Oh, man. And they were on the beach with that 70s bush. She would have been Sandy.
That's why he thought she did have fans, but no. Anyway, it's the big game next.
Oh, yeah. Do we even see a game? It just feels like they're all just having like a random sort of sports rally.
Yeah, they all just sort of like arrive to hear the coach talk and yeah, that's it.
It's like
and Sandy's a fucking cheerleader already.
Yeah. And that coach is an absolute fucking psycho.
I know. I kind of love that, though. I just... throughout this film, I just love that so many characters did the opposite of what I was expecting. I think that's why I liked it so much. Because it should be such, like, a sweet run-of-the-mill film. Yet so many people just express, like, really aggressive sentiments. And I really appreciate it. Oh, God. And then Kaneki arrives in like the shell of what his new car is going
to
be.
Yeah, we zoom out to the T-Birds being utter gaylords.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kaneki pulls up in his new car. And they're all like, oh, yeah. What a hunk of junk, Kaneki.
Like, our man with a little bit of grease and a little bit of sand and a little bit of D, this will be a fucking, it'll be a grease lightning. And they're like, wow. And Danny's like, huh, grease lightning. Pulls out his notepad and little pencil.
And is like, I think I should sing a song about that. And Kaneki's like, oh, well, really? I think I sing it in the stage version. Danny's like, no, I'm the main man here.
Yeah, I think I did. What rhymes with fussy tagging?
What can the chicks also do that rhymes with scream?
Oh, God. And then fucking Rizzo grabs Sandy, who's in her cheerleader outfit, and he's like, come here, I want to introduce you to someone.
Yeah, I got like, a surprise Rizzo. For you.
Yeah, then she fucking drags her over to where the T-Birds are, and she pushes Sandy in front of Danny.
Yeah.
And she's like, Danny? And he's like, Sandy?
Sandy?
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, but I thought you'd gone back to Australia. And she's like, no, my parents are fine. They're at home and they're not dead.
Sandy, you got some pants.
Sandy, you got some pom-poms. She's like, yeah, I didn't just dye my bush two different colours. And then all the boys start like kind of crowded around behind him being like, excuse me.
Danny immediately pulls his pants up and is like, oh no, you know what, I gotta do fast.
And she's like, Danny, what's the matter with you? And then he's like, yeah, what's the matter with me? What's the matter with you, you know? And it's like, oh, Danny, you fucking turd wank. Like, ugh.
Turd wank.
Yeah. And then she's like, Danny, what's the matter? And he just carries on. And she's like, oh, you're a fake, you're a phony, and I wish I'd never laid eyes on you. And then she throws her pom-poms and then runs off, and Rizzo just stands there with a fucking shit-eating grin.
Yeah.
Danny looks all hurt.
Well, he did it to himself.
He did do it to himself. And I'm like, you're such a fucking wanker.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also why... Oh, I don't know why his, like, male friends were adamant that he... were, like, shocked that he was nice to a girl. Because, like, Kaneki is, like, pretty nice to Rizzo in front of them, it seems. Or, like, when? Relatively so. Well, no, but he's not, like, a shit to Rizzo in front of them, really.
I think he kind of is.
I don't remember him being, like, not in a way that's not sort of, like, reciprocated by her.
Well, yeah, but that's it. Sandy doesn't reciprocate it, which is why I think it seems worse. I think, like, Sandy doesn't have the Rizzo has the reputation to go along with Danny's reputation. She's the cool, popular girl.
I guess so. That's very true, yeah.
But I think it's the fact that Sandy is such a sweet and innocent little, like...
Yeah, I guess it's that he, like, instantly lost his cool when he saw her.
Yeah.
But then it's like later when they go to like the diner together, no one's like, oh, you're with Sandy. Like everyone's like completely fine about it. So
yeah, everyone's just like, oh, yeah, hey, Danny and Sandy.
Yeah, like literally no one gives a shit. So I feel like if you turn around and went, guys, this is Sandy, the girl from the beach. They'll be like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
And they would have just, like, after they like left, they would have been like, man, you are like gooey over that girl and just give him like a punch on the arm or whatever. That would have been the extent of it.
Yeah.
It's like, Danny, you're a fucking knob with a stupid haircut, which I kind of like. Can I run my hands through it, please?
That's very much how I felt about all the characters throughout the film.
Anyway, fucking Sandy runs off crying and Frenchie goes to comfort her. And she's like, oh, by the way, how's my Australian accent been? I think it's been all right.
I think it has been good, yeah. I didn't want to draw attention to it in case you,
it's going to go weird now. Oh, she's like, oh, friend, oh, Sandy, the only man a girl can depend on is her daddy. I thought that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Sandy wants to depend on her daddy for the things she was depending on Danny for.
Yeah, especially not now he's dead. Unless she's, like, kept their bodies, like, taped to, like, rocking chairs inside her house. And she's covered them in, like, pickle juice so they don't, like, decompose. She goes back home and she's like, oh, Dad, you wouldn't believe what happened to me today. Just rips off her skirt. Just sits on his, like, rigor mortis lap. She's like, oh. She's like, oh, Dad, you're the first dick I have ridden.
Fucking hell.
Even though you are very dead. But Daddy, can't you see you're deep inside of me right now? Down, 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 down. And her mum isn't actually dead, but it just taped to the fucking chair with like some mask and tape over her mouth watching. And she's like, oh my God, no, no.
Sandy, put some pants on.
Sandy's like, but now. She's like, oh, maybe I don't need Danny after all.
Frenchie was right.
Oh, God, Sandy, what are you like?
Yeah.
What are you like?
Yeah, what are you like? We get in that scene before Rizzo brings Sandy over, we get a little glimpse of the Scorpions and their douche car.
Yeah, with a clearly homosexual, like, leather guy in the back seat. And I was like, wow, I guess anything goes in the Scorpions.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will about them, they're an open group.
Yeah. And for them to be like the villains of this piece, like, they're not any worse than, in fact, in many ways, they're kind of better as far as we know.
I mean, they're not worse.
Yeah, okay.
They're just another T-Birds from a different school, I guess.
I don't know, I mean, I quite like his crater face. I thought he was cool.
Why?
I just liked his vibe.
He's just a twat.
He's not any more of a twat than the others, though.
No.
So it's all, like, relative, I guess. do the hand jive, baby. Right, so Frenchie's like, oh, Sandy, do you want to come over to my house? We're going to have a sleepover tonight. And she's like, sure, Riz. I mean, Frenchie. You all look the same to me.
You Americans and your pants.
Oh, God. Anyway, sleepover.
You're not going to peer pressure me into doing anything, are you? Like drinking or smoking or piercing my ears? No, no.
No, we're just going to, you know, beat you over the head with a seal club. Why?
It's initiation, Sandy.
Yeah, that's why we're called the Pink Ladies, because we beat you until the pink meat shows. Like, wow. I don't want to go to the school anymore. It's okay, I think I'm just going to stay at home with my daddy. French is like, I don't like the way that you say that.
I regret giving you that advice, Sandy.
No, you're quite right, Frenchie. The only thing a girl can depend on is her daddy.
So I'm going to go home and depend on him.
When I say depend, I mean dip end. Okay.
Fucking hell.
Oh, God. Anyway, that sleepover looks fucking dope and I want to go so badly.
Oh, God. We just feel so differently about this film.
So yeah, they all go and like French is like, oh, Sandy, do you want to get your ears pierced?
And she's like, no.
No, if I get my ears pierced, I can't be buried in a Jewish cemetery. She's like, okay. Well, I guess we can just sit here and do nothing then. And Sandy's like, oh, that'd be lovely. Yeah. But yeah, she fucking pierces her ear and then takes Sandy into the bathroom to, like, sort her out. And Rizzo's like, oh, this fucking girl.
Yeah. And then sing this song. And at this point, I wondered, why is Jan in the Pink Ladies? Because she's so different to the rest of them.
I don't think she is, though, really. Other than the Brusher, Brusher, Brusher song, there's nothing else she does that is, like...
Well, they're like, all, like, fashion-conscious and glamorous and image-driven, and she doesn't seem to give a shit about that. She just, like, is just kind of funny and happy.
I think that's why, though, because her attitude is so ballsy. She's so, like, I don't give a shit. That I think that's what makes her sort of, like, congruous with the rest.
But she's not, like, she's not cool and suave in the twattish way that the rest of them all strive to be. And I feel like they would roll their eyes at her.
I don't think, like, one, I reckon they probably all grew up together.
Yeah,
but
probably.
Two, I think that in the same way that the blonde one is at the lower end of cool in the T-Birds, I feel like Jan's at the lower end of cool in the Pink Ladies, but she's still cool.
Yeah.
She's just not like, because all the Pink Ladies are quite different, really. They're not all the same. And so I feel like they just all represent, they're like the Spice Girls, Tom. They all bring something different to the table. Rizzo be Ginger, Sandy's obviously Baby.
This is why you love the film. It just groups of five, each with distinct personality. It's got your formula right down to a T, isn't it?
Yeah, boy. Oh, God. But yeah, I love how kind I love how Jenny is part of that, and it doesn't seem weird to me.
See, she stuck out a bit to me. I think maybe just because I didn't completely hate her. I don't completely hate Frenchie either.
Frenchie's probably my favourite character, I think.
Yeah, she's the only one. She seems like nice. She seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
Which is refreshing in this film.
But yeah, fucking Rizzo puts on a wig and sings a song about Sandra Dee.
Yeah.
Who is
that? Is that an actual person?
I was thinking that because I always thought it was just a play on Sandy, but I don't know anymore because she references so many different like famous people at the time in the song.
Yeah, exactly. None of whom if I've heard of them, I've no idea who they are.
I knew who Doris Day was. And I think she mentioned someone else. So I was like, I think I know who that is. But yeah, I don't remember anyone else. See, I have no idea if Sandra Dee is a real person.
Let's not look it up.
Let's just speculate. I don't think she was.
Well, I think she was.
She's like, look at me, I'm Sandra Dee, riding on my dead daddy. And Sandra's like, oh, you too, Riz? She's like, no, what are you talking about? And then the fucking T-Birds arrive.
Yeah, outside.
Yeah.
And then Rizzo goes out to get her kicks.
Yeah, and there's this weird moment where, like, I feel like she propositions both Danny and Kaneki at the same time. And I was like, what, does she want to like get off with both of them tonight? Because then Danny's like, no, man, I don't do sloppy seconds.
Yeah. I guess she's just kind of looking to get busy, isn't she? And she's like, who's up for it?
Yeah. Which, like, just how sort of aggressively she approached that situation is what made me think that she has issues or trauma in her past, which gave me that depth to that character straight away. Sort of, that was the moment I sort of got what her backstory probably was. Because of how young she is and how she was in that moment, I thought, this isn't just a girl who like enjoys sex. There's something deeper here for sure. I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could hear and see the damage and the trauma that was there.
I was just kind of waiting for the next song at this point.
Yeah, because Sandy's up in the room with her perfect hair, and then she's like, oh, I don't know what to do, girl who isn't Frenchie.
Marty.
Marty McFly.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's like, oh, Sandy, don't worry, have one of my boyfriends, I got plenty. And she's like, oh, are these? And I'm like, how do you keep up with them? She's like, oh, I'm a pen pal to all of them, and I'm hopelessly devoted to each and every one.
Yes. Also, Axel Grease.
I don't know if you know this, Sandy, but it is the word. And then Sandy, like, takes a bit of paper and runs outside. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Marty. I'll be back in a second. I've got to sing a song.
Yeah, and I need this piece of paper for some reason.
Yeah. I need it so I can write the lyrics down.
I need to emotionally drop it in a puddle that I see Danny's face in a minute.
So she runs outside and she's like, and now I'm walking outside and
I still don't have pants. I just like the idea that Sandy wears no pants throughout the entire film. And Danny at the beginning wasn't wearing pants either because he wanted to be on a level with her, and now he's back to real life. He's like,
that's why at the end he's like, Sandy! She's like... and she's like, tell me about it. Pants.
Hopelessly devoted. It is a great song and a great performance. She's got a real good voice, I think.
Oh god, Olivia, yeah, she does this other film called Xanadu, which is a fucking shit movie, but the soundtrack to it is boss, and it's her and like Electric Light Orchestra. And just her vocals on that, she's got such a crystal clear like tone to her voice.
Yeah,
that it's like a pleasure to listen to. So basically, yeah, she sings a song to her dead dad. Yeah.
Yes, she's still hopelessly devoted to him.
To him and the buckets of fromage frais she has in the fridge, which she uses to calm down the infection she gets after what happens when you inevitably shag a corpse.
Fuck you now.
She's like, dun-dun. Oh, Munch Bunch. Anyway.
And cut to Kinnicky and Rizzo fucking in the car.
Yeah, fucking the car. That's their song.
But now, we're fucking in the car.
Fucking in the car. Who's that guy? He's got a scar. And he's got an ethnic girlfriend. Ooh, look, he's saying bad things to you. But yeah, they're falling around. And then Kinnicky gets out his condom, which he's had since he was like 5, and it's like broken. And Rizzo's like, ah, fuck it, just stick it in.
Fucking stick it in and get on with it, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking around with that shit. Get your stock art in my Channing.
He's like, wow, you really are a pink lady. Yeah, that's pretty much it for that scene. Craterface shows up and he's like,
does he actually have a name?
He probably does, but that's the only like reference to him I hear.
Yeah, me too. I can't think of what his name is.
And he's going out with who we soon learn is Cha-Cha.
Cha-Cha.
And he's like, yeah. And so Kinnicky did say the reason he wants this car is because he wants to do like the Thunder Race thing.
Yeah, the race at Thunder Roll.
That's it, yeah. It's like a contest with the other group of leather-clad douchebags, I guess. And
yes.
Craterface is like the leader of the other group.
Yeah, the Scorpions.
Scorpions, yeah. That's a much cooler name than fucking T-Birds.
Yeah, well, it's Thunderbirds, isn't it, that it stands for?
Why would it stand for Thunderbirds?
I don't know. I thought that was what it was called. I thought that was just what it was.
Mm. I just wrote, next day, they've seen Grease Lightning.
Yeah, and Danny sings it, which I thought was like...
Yeah, it's not his fucking car.
No. And he's like barely even there working on the car over the year.
Yeah. And I think I would have preferred it if Danny wasn't in this scene at all and it was just like Kinnicky and the others.
Yeah, it's like Kinnicky's whole deal. He's supposed to sing Grease Lightning.
Yeah.
But they just wanted to shine more light on Danny as a leading man, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, so they sing the Grease Lightning song. The car gets all Grease Lightninged.
Sort of, you think it is. In their mind. In their minds, yeah.
In the recesses of their mind.
In their mind's eye. In their third eye.
And then they go to a diner?
Yes.
And Sandy's there with another guy.
Oh, yeah, she's there with some dude and she sees Danny and she's all like, can I put some music on the jukebox? I want to walk past Danny and clap my butt cheeks in his face.
Yeah, what's a popular song at the time?
Well, when's this actually? Is this set in the 50s?
Yeah, I did hear La Bamba at one point.
Yeah, and the Pink Ladies sing La Bamba and it's on in the diner as well.
Maybe that's the only song that was out at the time.
The only one.
Yeah.
When was, Let's Twist Again and all that?
Probably around the same fucking time.
I think so. I actually have no idea.
I mean, all this time before the Beatles. I mean, anything sort of like a pre-Beatles just sounds kind of the same to me.
Yeah, like Buddy Holly.
Yeah, it's kind of all that kind of feel. Like, Oh, What a Night.
Yeah.
Dip, 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 dip. So yeah, Sandy like frolics over to her while she's by the jukebox and she's like, oh, hi. And he's like, oh, so Sandy, I want to apologize for the other night. You know, I was being a bit of a dick wobble. She was like, yeah, you really were. I feel like I've lost my Australian. Now I'm conscious of it. I've lost my Australian accent.
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, exactly. I tried. It didn't happen.
She's like, yeah, you bloody were, mate. Fucking bang out of order, bro.
Oh, God.
Get fucked, mate.
And he's like, oh, Sandy, I love it when you talk that way. I love it when you talk like you got no pants on.
I've always got no pants on, mate.
Yeah, this is just a mirage. He's like, what? She takes his hand and puts it on her puss. He's like, oh my God. And I thought I was going to feel a skirt, but I just feel bush.
You're right, mate.
And they just stand there in frozen silence.
While he's trying to work his way in.
She's like, did I say that you could put in a finger? And he's like, no. She's like, well then. And he's like, I don't know what I should be doing right now.
Said him, I'm putting a finger on that, you know.
It's like, well, you've got two options. You either put in a finger or you put in the whole hand. And I'm going to react badly to one of them. Oh, anyway, she's like, oh, and then he's like, oh, I see you sitting over there with a... Oh, he, like, calls him something, like a name.
It's basically like Meathead or something.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, what, are you jealous? And then he's like, jealous? Don't make me laugh. And then he's like, oh, I can run circles around those guys. And Sandy's like, oh, I believe it when I see it.
If I can believe it when I see it, mate.
Well, believe it when I see it.
So then Danny goes to the gym.
Looking all cool in his leather jacket and his cigarette.
Yeah.
And the fucking coach goes, yeah, well, you're going to have to cut it down to 2 packs a day. And I was like, fuck.
So cool kids, like school kids, smoking in school is just fine then.
Oh, I know, I love it. Well, back then, fucking, like, the Flintstones were, like, advertising cigarettes on TV. Like, no one knew it was bad yet.
Yeah.
Alas.
So Danny tries several things. But yeah, the coach seems to be spending, like, a disproportionate amount of time with Danny. Like, does he not have anyone else?
Do you think that the coach is actually, like, Danny's dad and we just don't know it?
Well, the coach is, like, in love with Danny.
I think so.
Yeah.
He's like, I've never seen a boy whose hair is that erect. Danny, can you fuck me with your hair?
Oh, God. G-culture.
Well, you know, I can give it a try. Ooh, hair in my butt crack. Yeah. Now I got hair in my butt crack.
It has hair in my butt crack. The next well-known number in Greece, yeah.
Yeah. Open up my sphincter, put my hair in. If you use lots of grease, it's not a cardinal sin. I got a confession to make. It feels real good. So use your hair like it's a bit of wood. Oh, God. Anyway, coach says, you know what? I think you'll be good at track. Put on these shoes and go run for me. So he does track and he sees Sandy chatting to her new beau.
Yeah.
He's doing the fucking hurdles and then he trips and he falls and Sandy's like, Danny! She runs over.
Yeah, she rushes over to like see if he's all right. And then Danny sort of schmoozes her a little bit and then they just turn back at the guy she was with, laugh and walk off.
I know. I thought Sandy was such a bitch.
What the fuck?
She's like, oh, don't worry about him. He can barely spell his own name.
He hasn't had a single line in this whole film. He's not important.
Yeah. It's okay. He's an unpaid extra. Yeah. Danny's like, well, if it's all right by you, it's all right by me.
He hasn't even noticed I'm not wearing pants.
Yeah, I sat on his shoulders and he didn't even complain.
As in, like, not on the back of his shoulders either.
No, I sat on the front. I put my muff right up in his grill. I gave him a good flossing. And when I came, he didn't even lick his lips like he'd eaten a good donut, you know?
You know how sandy it is down there, Danny. It's a great exfoliating scrub. He didn't even thank me.
I mean, look how smooth your skin is now, Danny.
He's like, looks over and the guy's just got like his whole layer of skin just peeled off.
It's just, he looked like a burn victim.
Yeah.
And Danny's like,
yeah, cool. Oh. Yeah, I remember that. It's crazy times down the beach, huh, Sandy?
Well, that's why Australians always say to wear sunscreen, Danny. You never know when your face is going to come off because of cunnilingus, you know?
Muff burns.
That's what really killed Steve Irwin. Anyway.
So then we have another diner scene.
Yeah, they go for a date.
Yeah, they go for
and
a
Danny's,
date.
I do kind of like, but Danny's like, oh, no, I don't want to go inside. Like, everyone else is there. And she's like, oh, Danny, don't be silly. Come on. So they rush inside and Danny wants to sit on like a back table and put a menu in front of his face so no one sees him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I mean, I'm not really hungry, but I'll have a double Whopper, a milkshake, two slides of fries, maybe a jelly donut, a birthday cake, two tubs of ice cream, a roast dinner, a whole cow, a live cow. Give me a gun. I'll shoot it myself and flay it right here. And Sam's like, oh, I'll have the same.
Yeah.
And then everyone else fucking shows up and it's like, oh, man, just give him some privacy. Yeah, and Jan and the blonde one hit it off, and he says, I like you even though you're fat. And she's like, oh, thanks, even though she's not fat.
Yeah, even though she's not fat at all. Because that's clearly supposed to be a thing. It's because she says later on something like, oh, make sure keep me away from the snack machines here or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
And it's like, fucking hell. I wanted to put my head in the film and be like, Jan, you're fine. She'd be like, oh, thanks, man. Miss Sandy leans over and is like, yeah, but you're not as fine as me, though, are you, Jan?
I mean, look at those teeth.
I mean, I'd hate to see you with the no pants on. She's like, ugh!
You're right, it is hideous.
And then she turns to Danny and she's like, I'm the one who told her to go on a diet, you see. Anyway, fucking, it gets too much, and then Sandy and Danny just split, and then Kaneki and Rizzo have a fight.
Yeah, because Rizzo is acting like, I don't know, apparently acting shitty, but she's like, she doesn't seem to be acting any shittier than normal to me.
Yeah, I can't remember even what she says.
No. And then Kaneki's all like, hey, what's the matter with you today? You're acting like, fucking...
Yeah, you're acting like you got a rock in your shoe. You're acting like you got a Q-tip that broke off in your ear. You're acting like you sat on a pine cone. You're acting like you drank a quarter ounce of gasoline. Well, what else can she have to be acting like, Tom?
I don't know. I feel like you're on a roll.
You're acting like you sat on a rusty nail in the bathtub when you put some salt in it.
Oh.
It's like, fucking hell, I think anyone would be acting a certain way if that happened.
You're acting like you can't depend on your daddy.
Oh, God. Anyway, they all clear out and Frenchie's like to the waitress, oh, can I stay a little bit longer? And I don't really know why. I guess just to sing the song.
Yeah.
Can I stay a little bit longer? I've got a number I want to practice. And she tells the woman, our beauty school was so fucking hard. I'm thinking about dropping out. And the woman's like, oh. And she's like, what's it like being a waitress? And the waitress is like, oh, you don't want to know.
You're too young to know.
Yeah. So then Frenchie's just left alone in the dark. And then fucking, he's a famous singer from that period, from like the 70s. But I can't think of what his name is.
Nah, me neither.
It does say at the end, but he comes and sings a song about her dropping out of school. And then he's like, oh, you're not a looker. Then he... woman who would want to go to you is a hooker. And it's like, fucking hell, calm down. And French's like, wow, what a whole new business. Beauty for women at the night. We can call it beauty at dusk or nighttime nighttime naughty. No, that just sounds like a brothel. Scarlet Spa. Let's.
That's nice. That's good. The Scarlet Spa.
Yeah. What a lucrative business. Fucking hell.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Yeah. I mean, maybe two men like us are not the right people to be running such a business.
I don't know.
Oh, God. So, yeah, at the end of the song, she decides to go back to high school, I guess.
There's a pretty firm message in the song, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like she comes out of it thinking, oh, that song was a bit ambiguous. Wonder what he wants me to do.
For the next day is Bandstand.
Yeah. Yes, the live broadcast thing all happening.
Yeah, and Rizzo, because I guess she had it, because after the fight with Kaneki, Rizzo decides to go with Craterface to spite Kaneki.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, man, that's pretty deep. And then Kaneki ends up going with Cha-Cha, which is Craterface's girlfriend. Which is weird, because why is it that we assume that Craterface and Cha-Cha have broken up? Like,
yeah, I know, right? That's pretty convenient timing, isn't it?
See, I thought that was odd.
Then Marty goes in. Yeah, so, and also there's no, like, Doody and Marty are kind of a thing, but sort of not really.
But then
also Marty and Riz are around beforehand, like, we don't have dates. But then they get to the thing, and Doody's like, oh, me and Marty are a thing.
I mean, he must have been, like, her last resort option, I feel.
Yeah.
She's like, I'd rather go with a fucking broken mop than go with you. But alas, they were all out of broken mops at the broken mop store, so here I am. Let's dance. Sandy and Danny show up looking gorgeous, and they bump into Cha-Cha. And Danny's like, whoa, does like a little like side swerve.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's just someone I know. So. And we never really get like the backstory on that either, do we?
I mean, it's kind of implied that they had a little Cha-Cha.
Yeah.
Once upon a time.
Yeah. He had a little rumba in her Cha-Cha.
Yeah. He shook her maracas.
Yep. He did.
He dipped a Dorito in her salsa.
Ah. So they do a little warm-up dance.
Which is out of time with the music, and it really bothered me.
Yeah. A lot of it is, I think.
The hot principal takes the stage, and she's like, here are the rules. Has to be boy, girl, no vulgar dance moves. And anyone tapped on the shoulder must bend over and pull a bunch of flowers out of their ass. And everyone's like, fucking hell, I was not prepared for this.
Where are the bunches of flowers?
And Sandy's like, I'm always prepared. I keep some daisies and some dandelions up there. And then you hear... And she does keep us up here all the time.
Meow.
So they start dancing, and a good portion of the dance they're doing is Lindy Hop. Which,
is it?
Yeah, originated in like African-American culture. And just another dance that was co-opted by white people. Mm. And I feel a certain way about that, Tom.
Yeah, I can tell. I'm...
Oh, good. But Sandy and Danny are doing well. They're all dancing and sanding and pantsing.
Well, Danny's pantsing.
Danny's pantsing.
Sandy's
just, I don't know, ruching her skirts, I guess.
Bush just bouncing around.
Yeah. On her space hopper that she snuck in. So yeah, Sandy and Danny are doing good. And then some fucking twat who looks like Sonny to me, like, jumps in. And like,
yeah, I think it is Sonny during the hand jive contest.
Yeah.
Everyone gets super weird in that contest. Like,
it's the dancing goes so, it goes off the rails so quick. And not in like as in everyone's dancing bad, but everyone starts getting like hypersexual.
Yeah.
Even fucking, what's her name? Patty Mayonnaise, whatever her name is.
Yeah, she does the full like forward cartwheel thing. Yeah. It's like, wow, everyone at this school, this is why the fucking National Bandstand wanted to come and do the show. Yeah. Everyone's a fucking professional dancer.
So yeah, Sandy kind of gets like interrupted by Sunny, and like Cha-Cha steps into Sandy's place and dances with her Danny. And Sandy fucking storms off, quite rightly, I feel, like completely vexed. And Danny's like, well, yeah, you know, I want to win a trophy.
That was a super weird moment. It felt really like forced.
What happened?
Well, I don't know. It's just Danny and Sandy were just dancing, and then I'm pretty sure it is Sonny just comes up and sort of like almost joins in, gets in between him and pulls Sandy away, like for some reason, but then doesn't carry on dancing with her. It's not like a, oh, can I cut in kind of thing. It's just like, no, come over here.
Well, no, because he keeps on sort of like, he sort of like tries to like hump her on the dance floor, and because she's trying to like bat him away, she gets further and further outside of the ring. And then Cha-Cha was like waiting to step in. So by the time Sandy's free of him, Danny's already started dancing with Cha-Cha.
Yeah. Just seemed like a super weird moment. Just
yeah.
Like it wanted to kind of manufacture some tension between Danny and Sandy.
It would have been better if Cha-Cha walked in, grabbed Sandy by the shoulder, stamped on her calf, threw her to the floor, and then started tangoing with Danny.
Yeah. He's like, Sandy!
Sandy! And he's like, well, I'm sorry, I'm in a tango now.
Yeah. you know I can't break the tangle, Sandy.
You know when you've been tangled, Sandy.
Yeah.
And so she runs out and fucking... They win the trophy, though. Then it cuts to a drive-in the next day, I assume.
Yeah. And Danny, I've written Danny gives Sandy a ring. And in my head, I just thought, just like... Yeah. he gives Sandy a ring and also if she want to go down to the drive-in.
She's like, hello. And we're like, Sandy! And then her mum's like, yeah. And then he's like, Sandy, what's that in the background? She's like, oh, nothing. The microwave is acting up. And then he's like, what's a microwave? And she's like, oh, fuck. No, it's okay. It's just the television. I threw a towel over it. It's like, why you got a towel over the TV? To stop me from seeing things I don't want to see, Danny. Why else?
You wouldn't believe the horrors in the world, Danny. She looks over at her mother and father.
But I still like to have the light on as, like, you know, a presence in the room. Because as you know, Danny, my parents are dead.
Both of them.
Both of them, Danny, are stone cold dead. And I don't have sex with my dad at night. He's like, what?
Okay, yeah.
Do you want to come for a drive-in movie tonight? She's like, what time? I've got to feed my cats at very specific times, you see, Danny.
Oh, yeah, I know all about feeding your cat, baby.
I know how you like to put rice in your vagina. She's like, oh, Danny.
They were wonderful times, weren't they?
So romantic. I miss us being on the beach, getting sand in places you wouldn't expect. I miss you building sand castles on top of my areolas.
With some shaky foundation, Sandy.
Yeah. She's like, oh, sorry, Danny, I've got to go. My dog has gotten out of her cage. Danny puts the phone down and turns to his own dad, who's tied up to the chair. He's like, oh, I guess I'm going on a date tonight, Dad. Should we have a little fun before I go? And Dad's like, no, please, Danny. It's like, no, it's the trend that's going around all the kids. We all kind of depend on our daddy. You know, first it was the hand jive. Now it's the depend on your daddy.
Fucking hell.
So they rock up to the drive-in, both of them sitting on cushions in the car because they're inexplicably sore.
They both depended a little too much.
Yeah, and fucking, I'm amazed that Sandy went on this trip because she's still not talking to him. So they're in the car, just like stony silence.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, Sandy, I swear, man, there's nothing, man. And then she's like, I still think that you went with her. And then he's like, I didn't go with her. No.
I didn't go with her. We just kind of went together.
Yeah, something like that. And then it's like, and then she's like, what does she say? Maybe like the same thing. Or she says, oh, it's the same thing. Or, oh, I think you're lying to me.
Yeah. If you want me to put some pants on, Danny, just say.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't got any salsa, Danny. I mean, I've got some Vegemite. But you know, it's an acquired taste.
I saw your face when you tasted my Vegemite, Danny. I know how bitter it can be.
Yeah, I saw the way that your nose creased. I saw the way that you spat it out when you thought I wasn't looking. All I've ever wanted is a man who can spread some my Vegemite on his toast. On his brown bread, Danny.
Danny's like pushed up against the like the inside of the car door, just like eyes wide.
And she's got like a butter knife in her hand. She's like, tell me, Danny, tell me. Tell me you want to spread my Vegemite on your brown bread. And he's like, okay, man.
Fucking hell. But now he gives her his ring.
Yeah. He gets that scalpel, neatly cuts it away.
Oh.
He's like, put this around your finger, Sandy.
I'm just going to bleed out in the corner.
of course I can no longer control what feces come out of me, but you know, it's worth it to call you my girl. It's like, oh, Danny. Do you know what? If you're really lucky, I'll let you eat my Vegemite straight from the jar.
She's like, oh, still with the Vegemite.
Don't worry, it's a Christmas edition down there. It still tastes like Vegemite, but it's got snow on it. And he's like, that looks kind of like a yeast infection. Yeah. She's like, no, Vegemite is made with yeast. It's not an infection, it's just an overabundance. It's like a little party, you see.
It's a little farm, Daddy. Yeah.
We can grow our own bread, you see.
Muff bread.
Yeah, I've got a theme tune and everything. It's nice and tight. It's Vegemite. There we go. Oh, God. And the people in the next car are like, fucking hell. Oh, God. So, yeah, he greases up his ring via running his hand through his hair. Tom, get your mind out of the gutter.
Sorry, he greases up his ring. Yeah. How am I not supposed to go there?
And he slides it off and then he sticks it on her and she's like, Oh Danny, this means so much to me.
And then he just goes for the over the shoulder boob grab.
Yeah, he's like, she's like, Danny, no. And then he's like, oh, Sandy.
She thinks I respect her. Time to go in for the tit grab.
He did the tit grab. And Sandy's having none of it.
No, and I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, it was very aggressive.
Yeah, proper rapey.
Yeah, but I'm glad that she like fucking just told him where to go and shut the door on his erection.
Yeah.
And then he sings his little song about Sandy. Put your sand in my D. D. And he sits on a swing and fucking sings the entire song, and I forwarded it because I was like, this isn't furthering the story at all.
No, I know what you mean. I was tempted. It feels like that. It feels to me like that song was longer and they cut a big chunk out of the middle.
Well, I didn't know that song existed for a long time because I had always seen, for a long time, I'd only seen Grease in like separate parts. I'd never seen it from start to finish.
Oh, yeah.
So I had no idea that song existed until a couple of years ago. And I was like, fucking hell, they should have cut this out, really. He didn't need a solo.
No, I don't think he did. I don't know why. I just feel like they did cut a bit out because it starts out, it's quite slow and mellow and he's singing all forlorn and quite like low down, you know, dynamically is down quite low, and yeah, then like suddenly cuts to this big like Sandy like, big massive cinematic back shot with like lights coming out of him, and it's just like, fuck, it just comes out of nowhere.
And then it cuts to Riz in the bathroom and she's like, I skipped my period. My period hasn't occurred and it should have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how she phrases it. Yeah.
Oh, God, and not Frenchy. He's like, oh, man. And then... and Rizzo's like, don't tell anyone. And literally the first thing she does is tell people.
Yeah, and then the word spreads back to Kaneki before Rizzo even gets to him.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, so I hear you got a bun in the oven.
Oh, boy, good news sure does travel fast, huh?
Yeah, that was great. I was like, well, I just want to let you know I'll be a stand-up dad. And she's like, who said it's yours? And then he's like, come on. She's like, yeah. And then he's like, well, okay then. And then he walks off all solemnly and she looks all sad.
Yep.
And she sings a song. It's like, who said it's yours? It's like, who says it's yours? Who said you're the only one who's been opening my doors? I've let Craterface walk through. He's come through, and another Jew who lives next door. And you never guess why, he is circumcised. And it feels so smooth inside. You see, it could be one of three. Oh, but then, of course, there is Danny. So maybe it's one of four. But who knows? It could be even more. Because my name is Rizzo. Rizzo the Conqueror, they call me. And I wear crotchless pants. And I flash it all around for all to see. But not on the full moon. Because it gets kind of wolfy down there. I don't want to give you a scare. Mon frere. And the whole parking lot is cleared out and she's just singing this song. So like crouched over in like a tiptoe from like spot to spot. Like, it's Rizzo. And the director's like, cut, cut. I think we're going to cut this song.
Yeah, you can have another song later.
Yeah, let's make a song about how bad you feel about life, not about how you have a weird vagina.
It felt like a good idea in the writer's room, but...
But yeah, the next day, fucking Grease Lightning is ready.
Yeah, they finally stole enough parts to finish the car.
Yeah, and Mrs. Murdoch is a teacher who, it must be like the shop teacher who's been assisting them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Miss Murdoch, are you going to come down and see the race? And she's like, oh, I never abandon my students at the moment of need. Of course I'll be there. As if I was like, fucking hell, okay.
Fine.
I thought she was really cool. But yeah, your favorite bit's coming up.
Yeah, I go back to school and everyone's whispering about Riz behind her back and
yeah, they're like psh, 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 full moon. Psh, psh, psh.
Has teeth.
Psh, psh, half moon. Psh, psh. Totally. jokery.
Yeah, and then she sings that song, There Are Worse Things I Could Do, and shows some actual character depth and vulnerability, which I appreciated. It was a nice breath of fresh air for me in this film.
I felt like she had it all along. I believed in you, Stuckard. Channing.
So the next scene is at Thunder Road.
Yeah, and racy, racy, racy.
Yeah, and it's the big climactic...
Big race.
Dick measuring pissing contest that we're all supposed to give a shit about for some reason.
I gave a shit about it. The crater face is like, yeah, so we're going to race for pink slips.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck's a pink slip? And he's like, ownership, man.
Yeah, so like, do they get his car after the race, I guess.
Yeah, but who wants it? It looks shit.
I mean, it's still a car.
It has flames on the side.
You can take that off.
Yeah, I guess so. I always thought if I ever own a fucking car, I want like a, I might get like a white mini, like Mini Cooper, and put the Spice Girls logo on the bonnet.
Nice, it's classy.
Do you know what I have got though, and I've had it for like must be about a decade now. Because I thought if I ever pass my driver's test and get a car, I'm gonna put this in the back window. Do you know you have? Like the baby on board signs. I've got one that says Spice Girl on board. yeah.
You should just get a bumper sticker that just says Spice Car.
Oh, mate, I fucking would, though.
I know.
There's this whole fucking bit about them dropping a penny or finding a penny and then not Frenchy. Says, oh, I'm going to drop this in front of Kinnicky and he can find it and have good luck.
Yeah.
So she does and he does, but fucking Blondie opens up the car and smacks Kinnicky in the head.
Yeah, the most staged head bash I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because in the seat a couple of scenes ago, Kinnicky had said to Danny, oh, you know, we've been friends a long time, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like in that movie with the duel where the guy to be his second and step in case anything happens to him. I wonder if you could be my second in Thunder Road, which I feel like doesn't really make any sense. Like, what other than like an extremely unlikely head bashing staged knock on the head unconscious thing that actually does happen, like, what are the chances?
Yeah, he should have just said, look, Danny, can you come down and support me?
Yeah.
And then at that moment when he did hit his head, he'd be like, Danny, can you race for me?
Yeah, exactly. I guess that scene was just necessary to like foreshadow it. Otherwise, it would have maybe felt a bit like forced that Danny was doing the racing because he's the leading man.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah,
it just felt a bit weird. The whole thing feels very forced to me.
Yeah, I do think, do you know what though? I think everyone's a good actor in this, but I thought the Kaneki was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I think the performances are great. For the most part. I mean, they're quite over the top and like you know, like I have said, a bit caricaturey, but that is very like of the style that the films are going after, I think.
And I feel like I saw lots of different like degrees of thing. Like when he's doing the whole like bit where he's hit his head and he asked Danny to race for him, I thought that was really nice the way you did that.
Yeah.
So Danny races for it, crater face, and fucking Sandy shows up in her massive skirt and sits on the side of the racing track,
yeah,
watching everything.
Fucking dumb race. There was no need to go up on the side like that. It's a straight like canal.
Yeah.
They just decide they want to make a bit of drama and go up on the side, which would be like having to go up on the side like that and compete with that force dragging you down, I think would just make the cars go slower.
Yeah, and they're not very robust cars as it is.
No, I really don't think any of the physics of this race make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it should have been that they have to race to the other end, crash into the side of the dam or whatever, and whoever survives gets the cars.
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense.
Even though the cars would be worthless at that point, because it'll be, like, smooshed.
Yep.
Should be that whoever survives gets to keep the body of the other one who didn't.
Smother them in pickle oil next to their daddy.
Like, oh man, this is going to be the best Christmas ever. Fucking Cha-Cha's there, though. She gives them the signal to start racing.
Yeah.
She's so dressed up. She's so... That girl is so thirsty. It just pisses me off so much.
That woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
That middle-aged woman.
Anyway, Danny wins.
Danny wins, and we get a little, yeah, Sandy is, like, way off to the side, sings a little reflective reprise/reprise of Sandra D.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm Sandra D, and I want some good D, so I guess I have to put on some panties. And that's... kind of a good summary, I feel.
yeah, pretty much. That's quite accurate, actually.
But Frenchie runs up and she's like, oh, Sandy, did you see the race? And Sandy's like, yeah, I've been here.
Yeah, come on, Sandy. You could go back to my place.
Yeah. What's the matter, Sandy? Ain't you happy? And Sandy's like, no, not really, Riz.
Frenchie.
Not really, Riz, Frenchie. Frizzy. Not really one of four.
Number two.
And French is like, why? And Sam's like, well, I don't know if you know this, but my parents died.
I've been doing my best to hold on to their memory, but I don't know how healthy my process is.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I unclenched and their memory just ran down my thigh and now I haven't got it anymore. <It's> like,
Anyway, can I come over to your place, Frenchie? Just like,
I think that you could help me. I think you're the only one who could help me, Frenchie. She's like, well, yeah, sure. So anyway, it cuts to fucking later on in the day and they're all at the carnival because it's the last day of school.
Yeah, end of the school year. And there's a carnival, like, in the school grounds and all the teachers are there running the rides and stuff.
That was bananas, but
yeah,
also
like,
fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, good fun, but, like, fuck me. I wish, like, my school had a carnival at the end of the year.
Same! What did my school have? Nothing but detentions, I guess. And warnings that if I don't buck up my ideas, I'm not getting into sixth form. And Danny's there and he's put on a sweater.
Yeah, he shows up in his sports gear after the rest of the T-Birds have given Coach Houlihan, or whatever his name is, a few cream pies.
Yeah, boy.
And Rizzo is... I think I meant to write Rizzo isn't pregnant, but it autocorrected to Oregon.
I can't even extrapolate a joke from that.
No.
Yeah, she's like, a Kaniki shows up and he's like, you know, Rizzo, I want to be here for you, blah, blah. And then Rizzo's like, Kaniki, I'm not pregnant. And then he's like, oh, I want to make an honest woman out of you anyway. Put my ring on.
So you can't like, oh, get, borrows Danny's knife.
Yeah. He's like, oh, Rizzo, put on my ring and start telling the truth. Because I'm going to make a woman out of you who's honest.
She's like, I think it needs some work on.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense unless you go, oh, Rizzo.
Now tear the crotch out of your panties.
Yeah, how about this? Oh, Rizzo gonna make an honest woman out of you, just like a full moon. And it's like, what's this fucking obsession with full moon you got? And she's like, it's not me, it's my fucking vagina. That's all it's want is a fucking full moon. And I keep saying you gotta wait a whole month, but it's like, no, I want it now. So I've had to fly across the world into different time zones. I'm broke. I got an ear infection from all the changes in altitude. But it's insatiable, you see. It's like fucking old Grease 2, the were-vagina.
Then Danny turns up wearing his, like, sport jacket. And he's like, that's why I haven't been helping you knuckleheads fix up the car. I've been doing track this year. You guys mean a lot to me, but Sandy does too, and I need to do anything I can to get her back.
Yeah, and then one of them says something, and then they go, oh, and then fucking Sandy rocks up in pants.
Yeah. It's like, Sandy.
She's like smoking a cigarette, got awesome, like, pre-80s hair.
Yeah.
Got skimpy, like lycra pants on and a shoulderless top. And she smokes a cigarette and goes, tell me about it, stud. And then Danny does like the thing.
And Rizzo's like, oh God, it's happening.
This fucking massive claws rip through Rizzo's pants. Yeah. And then they sing their song.
They sing their song.
You're wearing some pants. You're wearing some pants. Zip up.
Fucking hell, yeah. So it's all happily ever after because Sandy's transformed herself. And both gangs are all coupled up. Kaniki and Riz made up. And Marty is finally settled for the miscellaneous background artist.
Yeah. Kaniki's come to terms that it's now 2 times a month that he doesn't want to be around Rizzo.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Oh, God.
Does Sonny get with Frenchie? I think...
Who the fuck is Sonny?
The fucking 40-year-old mechanic bloke.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
He's like, I hear that you like to depend on your daddy. She's like, sure, you look enough like him. In fact, you look just like him.
In fact.
And she rips off his mask. And she's like, daddy? And then he's like, tell me about it, stud. Hey, you're my daddy. Yeah.
You are my daddy.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then we get the last song. I couldn't be bothered to write, like, whatever it is. Shama-lama-lama-da-ding-da-dong.
Yeah, it's
we're like fighting against the autocorrect. So I just wrote end nonsense song.
Yeah, and then fucking... Oh, and right, yeah. So then, and then at the end, Sandy and Danny jump into the newly remodeled Grease Lightning.
Yeah. Which they've now painted red like they did in their Grease Lightning fantasy.
But yeah, then Sandy and Danny are in it and everyone's giving them a good vibe and they fucking fly off into the sky.
Yeah, flies off into the sunset.
Which didn't see, although it was stupid and ridiculous, I did catch this time that Mrs. Goffman, or whatever her name is, Mrs. Murdoch, the mechanic, does say about Grease Lightning, she's like, oh, if it was any more something, it could fly.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of mentions of like, oh, she's going to fly or something like that.
Yeah. So I was like, wow, it got so greased it flew. This is what happens when Sandy puts pants on.
And that's the end of the fucking film.
It's the end of the film. It's the end of... Yeah, I had a great time.
I thought it was really... It's obviously like a great production with great performances. I just found the characters pretty detestable and all of the things that are important to them, things I would never give a shit about.
Yeah. Everything they cared about, I would care about, I feel. You know, looking cool and...
Just competitions of status.
Yeah. Competitions of status, getting your ears pierced, smoking, unwanted pregnancies. So yeah, we hope you had fun on this greasy adventure. We hope we greased your pole.
Yes, hope you're all slippery and sliding now.
Yes, I hope you haven't accidentally contracted lupine vaginitis. So yeah, join us next time for more thrilling movie-related tales from the dilapidated Art Deco cinema that is poorly read at the movies.
Yeah,
I've been Gifton.
I've been Tom.
And depending on daddy's been depending on daddy.